Today is the 23rd of Kislev, 5773, or you could say today is day 2456268.50000, according to the Julian calendar. Or you could say it's December 7th, 2012. Whatever you prefer today on Please Explain, we're going to talk about calendars, and you may be surprised to learn just how many different ones there are, all with fascinating histories and characteristics. Joining us now are Dr. Ken Seidelman, currently a research professor in the Department of Astronomy at the University of Virginia, after having worked at the U.S. Naval Academy Observatory for over 35 years, and Dr. John Pratt, an astronomer with an interest in calendars of all kinds and a special interest in religious calendars. And I'm very pleased to welcome you both to our show.
Hello.
And I'd also like to invite our audience to join in on the discussion. You can give us a call at 212-433-9692. Or write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. Let's begin with you, Dr. Pratt. Do the various kinds of calendars reflect the needs of the particular society that's created them?
I would say in general, yes. That's often why they were created, to, you know, to handle their affairs. Sometimes, you know, market things, religious ceremonies, yes.
So, Dr. Seidelman, calendars aren't necessarily organized around astronomical events or observations?
Most of them are tied to astronomical phenomena. They basically divide into either solar or lunar calendars. And it's sort of a natural progression of that's what the people observed, and that's part of what determined cycles for them.
Well, I understand how a lunar calendar can work. You just simply say the first of the month is either a full moon or when or the opposite. But how did people count the days for solar calendars?
Well, basically, your annual cycle causes weather variations and your farming. So that naturally people would tend to put a cycle based on the orbit of the Earth as part of their living conditions.
Well, I understand, Dr. Pratt, that one of the things we need to grasp is the idea of a tropical year. What's a tropical year as it relates to calendars?
Oh, that's just the technical word for the seasons. It's the seasonal year of, you know, from spring to spring or summer to summer.
And let me come in here.
Okay.
Based on new knowledge or more improved accuracies, today the tropical year is defined as the time necessary for the Earth to move 360 degrees in its longitude. The time from equinox to equinox, from solstice to solstices, are different. And so while historically people talked in terms of the top tropical year being tied to the equinox, and in fact that's what our definition of Easter and things that drove the variations in the calendar, now we know that it is different than the mean length of the year.
Did ancient peoples note the equinoxes and the solstices rather carefully? Was that important to them?
Yes, pretty much. That was what drove calendar reforms, in large part because religious holidays were tied to the definition of the equinox and the phase of the moon.
Now, John Pratt, the day is more or less something that we can all see and understand as the sun rises and then sets and night falls again. But does the week have anything to do with astronomical rhythms?
Oh, that's a good question. The three obvious ones, has been said, are the day and the month, or the moon cycle, or the sun. As for the week, that seems to be pretty separate. Different cultures had different numbers of days they counted.
And how did we wind up with a 7-day week? It just seems kind of odd.
Yeah, the 7-day week, from all I can tell, really does come from religious roots, both from the Jews and then later the Christians. Were both the way our week, the Roman calendar that we use, originally had 8 days in a week, and then when Constantine gets converted to Christianity at the Council of Nicaea, they officially made it the 7-day week.
That's because in the Old Testament it says God created the heaven and the earth.
Right. One interesting study I did was, you can ask yourself, if you want to measure a length of time to measure both the moon and the sun, both the year and the month, what's the best number of days in a unit to use? And the answer is 7. So the 7-day week is perfect for measuring both the month, because the month is about 4 weeks, and also the year, which is about 52 weeks.
Now, when were the first calendars associated with the habits of society developed, the ones in response to planting of crops or the harvesting of crops or market days? There are still some people who live by market days, aren't there?
Yes, I can respond to that. I lived in Brazil for a while, and they still name, instead of naming the days after the planets like we do, ours are, you know, the sun day and the moon day or Monday, they're named for the 7 planets. In about A.D. 800, one of the popes said, he said, why are we naming them, why are we using the pagan names? We ought to name them first, second, third. And the only country, I believe, one of the only ones that accepted his suggestion was Portugal. And anyway, in Brazil, they still name the days, and they're named for the fair. Second fair, there's the Lord's Day, is the Domingo, is Sunday. And then there's second fair, third fair, fourth fair, and they actually have a little marketplace that moves around town, and each, on their day of the week, it's in your part of town.
Ken Seidelman, what are the most significant calendars in the history of mankind, the most important for us to understand something about?
I'd be hesitant to say which are the most important, because the different civilizations or areas have their own calendars, which I think they would say were the most important. But, you know, certainly we all know about the Chinese, the Hebrew calendar, the Islamic calendar.
And, of course, the Roman calendar.
The Roman calendar I was going to come to is the one we have progressed from. And now the Gregorian calendar, as it's called, is basically used by everyone throughout the world for business purposes and for communication purposes.
But that grew out of the Julian calendar.
Right. There was a reform of the Julian calendar by Pope Gregory.
Now, have most of the calendars grouped days into months?
Most of them have some form of month based, you know, sort of based on the lunar cycle. So you have generally lunar calendars. For instance, the Islamic calendar is a lunar calendar. The Indian country has a number of different calendars and mix between lunar, solar, and lunar. But most have gone to some sort of a lunar solar calendar where they do something to maintain the tie to the orbit of the Earth.
My guests are Dr. Ken Seidelman, who's a research professor in the Department of Astronomy at the University of Virginia, and Dr. John Pratt, who's an astronomer and historian with a special interest in calendars. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can also write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. All of those calendars have different New Years, and how much do they reveal about the societies they grow out of? For example, the Chinese New Year is kind of close to the beginning of spring, but not totally. The Hebrew calendar is very close to the beginning. New Year begins near the fall, equinox and harvest time. What about the Islamic calendar?
The Islamic calendar rotates. It does not attempt to tie to the solar, so it has something like a 33-year period as the new year rotates through the year.
So the big problem we have with the Julian calendar is after a while we had months moving into the wrong season. Have all these other calendars worked out ways to adjust that?
Most of them introduce what's known as an intercalary month to adjust to stay close. As I indicated, the Islamic calendar does not.
Yes, I've got a comment back on the question on when the new year begins.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the societies, somebody noticed that a nice thing to do is to compare the year to the day. And so they have a time the day begins, which can be at sunrise or sunset, and the time the year begins. On our calendar, the day begins at midnight in the middle of the coldest part, and the year begins in the middle of winter, and they go along together. On the Hebrew, they begin the day begins in the evening when it's getting dark, and the year begins in the fall when it's getting dark. So a lot of them have that comparison also.
Well, but ours seems to be the most arbitrary, doesn't it?
Well, a lot of people like it that way.
January 1st? Why January 1st? Why midnight? Midnight is an arbitrary moment, isn't it?
Well, yes, but it's when most people are asleep, see, and most people aren't doing as in the older days. Most people didn't do as much in the winter, and your summer was the big time you didn't want to interrupt. Astronomers start the day, when you started the show, you said it was day 0.5. Well, they start the day at noon because they're working all night. and so they're, by the way, one little correction there, there's two words, Julian day and Julian calendar.
Mm-hmm.
That long number you gave at the beginning is the number of our Julian day, and that calendar just counts days, and they start at noon.
And when did they start?
The Julian calendar is named after Julius Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 45 BC it started, and the Julian day is from Julius Scaliger. They're different Julius people.
The Julian day number starts back around 4,700 BC.
Very and it good. Was set Go to the head of the class, yes.
It was set up basically so you had a continual day number count for historical records.
Now, the world really runs by the Gregorian calendar at this point.
Right.
Despite the fact that there are local calendars as well, what does that mean for people who live on the Chinese calendar, the Hebrew calendar, the Islamic calendar? Or calendars that are based on markets or other things, do they really live by two calendars simultaneously?
Basically, if they want to communicate internationally, they have to use the Gregorian calendar.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can tell, in most cases, that's what they actually use. The other calendars are used for religious or ceremonial purposes.
In Sri Lanka, they tried to not use the Gregorian for several years and said, we're sticking to ours, and they couldn't do it. It just, the international trade is so important that everybody uses Gregorian for that, yes.
Weren't new calendars developed after the French and the Soviet revolutions?
The French developed the French Republic calendar, which was used for, I don't know, about 20 years. It was an interesting calendar. It had a 10-day week.
So they want to go on the decimal system as they had with everything else, with measurements.
Yeah, tried to. Actually, Napoleon abolished it because
right.
It wasn't popular.
Because people didn't want to wait that long for the weekend?
I'm not sure what the reason for it was. It's an interesting calendar.
Yeah, a lot of it was religious, too. They wanted, people wanted that 7-day week for religious reasons.
And what about the Soviet Revolution? Did they also try to change it for a little while?
I don't know.
From 1929 to 31, they tried a 5-day week. They thought, we can get people off religion if we give them a day of rest even more often. And there was a huge rebellion, and then they tried a six-day week, and they finally gave up too, and people said, no, we're sticking, we want a seven-day week, and the people stuck to it and won.
Now, what happened with the Mayan calendar, which many people seem to be thinking about at the moment, partly because some people interpret it as predicting the end of the world? That was a fairly accurate calendar, wasn't it?
Yes, I don't.
Dr. Seidelman?
We both answer. You might have to direct the question.
I'm going to have to start doing that again. Which one of you wants to take this one? Dr. Pratt, go ahead.
Yes, I sort of specialize in the Mayan. So, yes, the Mayan is very, very accurate. But it had a lot of different wheels. And most of the Indian tribes from all over North and South America used a very ancient form, which is part of what's called the short count in the Mayan, okay? And they all use that. But the Mayans added what's called a long count, and that's the one that goes around to all zeros on December 21st.
Well, the Mayans believed that at the conclusion of certain cycles called pictons, which were about 7,885 years, the universe is destroyed and then recreated. So
you know,
this,
I have looked. I've got a couple of comments on this, and Ken, you can go where you want, but most of what I see on this 2012 is not looking at the ancient Mayan documents at all, but it's modern people putting their take on it. There is the cycle does go to all zeros, and it goes around and starts again a new cycle. And I've found very little in the Mayan, writings that actually say exactly what any predictions would be at that time. One comment I can make, and I don't know, again, how much Ken has looked at all of this, but all of the hype about the sun crossing the center of the galaxy, if you've heard of some of that, on December 21st, that's something that happens every year. The sun, as it goes through the sun appears to go through the sky. If you could see the stars, you would see it moving among the stars. And they're so bright, of course, the sun's so bright, it blots them out. But there's a place in the sky where our galaxy can be seen. And once a year, the sun crosses that point, and it's around, the winter solstice. But I looked at that, and it crosses every year is the point. And people think that the sun hurtling through space crosses some magic point, and that's not it.
I'm so relieved.
Yes.
Good.
We live in a time when so much information is spread by means of the Internet, and a fair amount of it is just wrong. But people see it and say, this is on the computer, therefore it's correct. We have all these different cycles or periods due to the motions of the sun, moon, planets, and they just keep going. There is nothing in that that indicates the world's going to come to an end.
Well, this segment is going to come to an end, at least this part of the segment. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll come back with more and take listener calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can also write to us at WNYC.org and leave a comment on our show page. My guests are Dr. Ken Seidelman, who is a research professor in the Department of Astronomy at the University of Virginia, Dr. John Pratt, also an astronomer with an interest in calendars of all kinds, special interest in religious calendars. And as we are hearing, most of the calendars that we have in the world have a religious connection. We'll be back with your calls and comments right after this. We're back with two astronomers who are our guests in this discussion of calendars, Dr. John Pratt and Dr. Ken Seidelman. And we invite your calls at 212-433-9692. If you'd like to talk about calendars. We go to, is this Javed?
Yes.
Javed from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My question was regarding the Persian calendar, which dates back to the beginning of the Elamite dynasty as far as being recorded. But unrecorded history also says that it goes back as far as 7,000 years ago, during Emperor Jamshid, who was in English would be James. And the calendar is probably one of the most perfect solar calendars in the world as of the 12th century, which got its last adjustment. And it starts at the beginning of the spring when the sun crosses the equinox, and it's really a perfect agricultural calendar because it starts with the beginning of life in the agricultural communities with spring.
Now, Dr. Pratt, you want to get in on this?
Well, you know, that is one I have not studied, so I appreciate the comment. I might take a look at that. There's so many countries and so many calendars, and that's not one I have studied, so I don't really have a comment. It's good for me to learn. Thank you.
Dr. Seidelman, do you know anything about it?
I likewise am not familiar with that calendar. There is this area going way back where the sources of these different calendars is really not well understood.
But I would assume, from what the little I know about ancient history, that calendar would have had an impact or been connected to some of the other calendars of the Middle East, because
right.
Because the cultures constantly were mixing in with each other. I don't know whether the Javed calendar is anything like the Islamic calendar or like the Hebrew calendar, but yeah, that would be an interesting thing to look at. A listener writes in, Jenny from Brooklyn, why is September, which means 7th, the 9th month? And as long as we're going along with that, October would be the 8th month, wouldn't it?
Yes, and November the 9th month,
yes.
And December the 10th month.
Right.
So what happened?
Either one of us could. Ken, why don't you
go
take
ahead,
that
John?
Okay. Well, so on the Roman calendar, that's how it was at first. They were the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th month. And it was about the time of Julius Caesar when he starts the Julian calendar. They rearranged the calendar entirely. And March, well, the short answer is March used to be the first month of the year. And if you start from March, then September is the 7th month. But when the Julian calendar came in 45 B.C., then they made January the first month, and that added two, and they kept the old names. So there you go.
Now, they could have made what is now November, January, and what's now December, February, and
right,
just
right. They,
kept it
yeah.
going the old way.
Yeah. By the way, that's why February, if you wonder why the leap year, when they add the extra day to make things come out right with the sun, the reason that's in February is February used to be the last month of the year. Well, in fact, before that, they stuck in a whole extra month. They were on the lunisolar calendar, and they got rid of that. But that was one that puzzled me as a youth, is why do they stick the extra day in the middle of the year? Well, it used to be the end of the year.
Let's go to one of our callers, Michael from Montclair. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, great show. I was wondering, I can see how agriculture, the cycle of agriculture, would in itself be kind of a calendar, but I'm wondering if there's any evidence that pre-agricultural nomadic humans used any sort of calendar system.
You know, this is John again. The farthest I've been able to trace it back is the same thing Ken said, is that ancient people, you can't miss the moon going around. You just see cycles. You might think of time as going on in a straight line, but you see the daily cycle, then you see the month cycle and the year, and all my studies have shown the most ancient calendars somehow are tracking those cycles.
So that most of them would have been lunar.
Well, that's the most obvious at first, but then you can't. We're in the big cities, and I teach astronomy in the
the kids don't even notice that the sun rises way up in the northeast in the summer and way down in the southeast in the winter. But when you're in a simpler society, you can't miss that. I mean, you have summer and winter, and you can't miss the big cycle of the year either.
Well, you look at things like Stonehenge, which is tied to the solar cycle and the motion of the sun. And, you know, in practice, I think from an agricultural point of view, the solar cycle becomes important. As far as the nomads and so forth, I'm not familiar with anything there unless there was something tied to hunting and the things like the cycle of fishing and so forth.
Now, some of the ancient peoples got pretty sophisticated, at least I've been told. In Chaco Canyon, for example, there rocks were arranged so that when the summer solstice began, or maybe it was spring, I can't remember, the sun hit the space between
right.
the two rocks exactly at the right spot, so people would know that this was the beginning of the next year.
Yeah. You find various remnants or indications of wanting to detect the solar cycle accurately.
And that was, in this case, this was the ancient Pueblo people of the Southwest in the Four
right.
Corners area, people who were fairly sophisticated, but you wouldn't have thought would have been that sophisticated. So
most of the Indian tribes did things like that. They'd pile up rocks, these cairns of rocks, and sight over mountain peaks, but that's pretty common. It's among many, many tribes.
Yeah, you find orientations of their structures in that were set up basically with north-south orientations or orientations tied to the motion of the sun.
A listener asks, what's the relationship between numbers and the measurement of time in calendars? That is, in our calendar, the measurement of time is based on 60 seconds and then 60 minutes, 24 hours per day, 7 days per week, 30 days a month, pretty much, 12 months a year. Are these numbers considered sacred in our culture, more important than astronomical events such as the lunar month?
I don't think I'd use the word sacred. They come out of, as far as I know, Babylon and their measurement techniques. You know, we have 360 degrees to a circle, and so the divisions by 60 were part of their culture.
Other listeners, yep. Angelo wonders, when the Gregorian calendar came into being, what was the reaction of Protestant countries and Protestant leaders?
Oh, this is John. I'll jump on that one a little bit. They didn't like it, and England in particular refused to use it. They weren't going to be taught by the Pope, even though we happened to have a real good idea this time. And they waited till 1751 to change over from the old Julian to the new Gregorian. But I had a couple of Russian professors stay in my home for a while, and it was in the spring, and they wanted to go to an Easter at the Russian Orthodox Church. And I'm out in Utah, and that's harder to find, but I hunted all over. I found a Greek Orthodox Church. But they were so disappointed because the Greek had changed to our calendar. And the Russians are still, what they were saying is the Russians were still using the Julian calendar even now and hadn't changed.
Well, Orthodox churches consider September 1st to be the beginning of the calendar, don't they? That's what one listener suggests.
If you go back to your question about the Gregorian calendar, it took 300 years before all the countries adopted that. I think Russia was the last one. But there is this discrepancy concerning Easter between the Eastern and Western churches. the Western churches use what's known as an ecclesiastic moon and equinox, while the Eastern Church tends to use the real positions.
Summer from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a long-time listener, and this is the first time I'm calling. And I grew up in Ethiopia, and the month starts in September. The new year starts in September. And all the months are 30 days equally. They divided in 30 days equally, and there are the 13 months, usually just 5 days, and once in every 4 years it's going to be 6 days.
Summer, do you know when that calendar was devised? How far back?
I don't know. I want to know, do they have anything, how it's related with...
Yeah, that's basically the Egyptian. That's the old Egyptian calendar that had 12 months of 30 days and to the five at the end. But they did not, as Ken already said this, they did not put in the extra 6 day to make it work with the year. And so... I guess I don't know anybody else who really puts in the 6 day to make it really tie to the seasons. Maybe Ken does.
Not that I know of at this point.
Let's take another call. Amy from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm wondering if you guys knew that there is a Jewish holiday that occurs every 28 years and is when the sun is... it was calculated to be in the same point in the sky as when it was created, on the fourth day of creation.
Yes, this is John. I can comment on that. Mm-hmm. It ties to the 7 day week. If you ask when the 7 day week comes out again, so that the year starts the same, there's a 28 year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe it's the Hebrew calendar as much as the solar with the week that repeats then, but it still is an important religious ceremony in several places.
Yeah, and I have a book about it by Art Scroll that I bought, 28 plus whatever the last time was.
The Hebrew calendar is all over the place, according if you compare it to the Gregorian calendar, because it's a lunar calendar.
Yeah. A lunar solar calendar.
Yeah. It's a lunar solar.
Yeah, lunar solar is the word. It does both cycles.
It has all kinds of complicated rules concerning the necessary adjustments and so forth.
Well, should we be happy that we have the Gregorian calendar and we have this odd thing, 24 hours, 60 seconds, 60 minutes, et cetera?
A lot of people think so. I remember reading in an encyclopedia what a wonderful thing Julius Caesar did to
10 seconds.
Throw up his hands and get rid of trying to follow the moon because it was just too hard. You know, so that's what our Julian calendar does. It's just the sun and the day and with the week thrown in a little bit.
And we thank you both so much. Unfortunately, we have to end it here. Dr. John Pratt, Dr. Ken Seidelman, it's been a real pleasure talking with you today on today's Please Explain Look at Calendars.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.